It's NBA time. We're going to be joined right now by Josh Eberle from Hoops Magazine and talk all things NBA. And there's really a lot of talk about you. Josh, welcome to the program. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And it's my pleasure. You know, you come out of I think they've done a great thing here with the Saturday night primetime game. It's always a marquee matchup, and I think it's a great opportunity for the NBA to get even more exposure before they really get to the point where they have the sports stage kind of to themselves and they're clear of the NFL. So I like it. We get another marquee matchup on Saturday night, Golden State going hammer and tong with the Boston Celtics, but prevailing in their building. And I guess the question you have to ask as you read through some of the, you know, sports websites and whatnot, and people start talking about who can threaten the Golden State Warriors. The realities are we're in late January. Do you see any team that is a real threat to the dominance of the Golden State Warriors and their chance to win yet another NBA championship?
It feels unlikely. And I know people get swept up a month ago. It was the Toronto Raptors who were playing the Warriors really well, and people thought, oh, you know, maybe Raptors could test them for a series, or maybe Celtics, and these conversations are stemming from the Cavaliers not looking very good, and it's all nice to speculate, but the Warriors' talent level is just so high, and to be honest, you start to look at what's happening in the Western Conference already. You know, obviously DeMarcus Cousins is going to miss the rest of the year, which really sucks. Not that you thought the Pelicans were going to beat the Warriors, but now all of a sudden the Pelicans no longer offer any threat. You look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, who might have had the best roster to match up with them in a playoff series with both Robertson and Paul George offering excellent, excellent defense on the wings. And now Robertson's going to miss the rest of the season. It doesn't seem like everything would need to go right for one of these teams to really punch Golden State in the mouth and win a seven-game series. And it just, I haven't seen anything from anyone to really make me want to bet on that.
All right, and that said, you always, you know, the Cavaliers are really struggling. And last year, I watched them struggle down the stretch of the regular season and actually bought in and got nervous and thought they may be vulnerable in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And, well, they turned on the steam when it counted the postseason. Do you think what we're looking at this year with the Cavaliers is a lot of the same thing? Hey, it's really all about June. It's all about the playoffs for us. We're going to grind our way through the regular season. Or do you think there's some real problems in Cleveland that make them not the overwhelming favorite in the East as they have been the last few years?
I think it's both. I think we are prone. LeBron James teams have a tendency of the stretch before the All-Star game of really falling asleep. And I think it's fair to say, you know, we've seen this before, and we're not going to count out a LeBron James-led team in the era of LeBron James until it happens. But I do think there are some legitimate issues here. I think there's some division in that locker room that wasn't there last year. You know, despite Kyrie Irving leaving, we didn't have these same notions that Kevin Love was on the outs with certain people. You know, Isaiah Thomas wasn't getting testy with beat writers about what he or, you know, someone said to them in the locker room in passing, true or not true. And the defense is the worst defense in the entire NBA behind the Sacramento Kings. So while these issues, you know, have prevailed over several seasons, this feels significant. And I really like Isaiah Thomas, and I hope he gets back to where he is. But he just frankly hasn't been good so far. He's been a liability on defense and on offense. He's not shooting like he was shooting last year. And I just don't know if this Cavaliers team has the personnel to really slog through the playoffs if they're also not right at home.
Well, that said, you know, a lot of people are speculating, oh, the Cavaliers are going to make some big trades and they're going to reshuffle some deck chairs to make that one last run. And obviously the piece that's going to have to be moved to get them somebody that would actually help them challenge and close the gap between them and the Warriors is that Brooklyn first round pick, which looks like it's going to be a top five pick in a loaded NBA draft. Saying all that, do you see a move that the Cavaliers could make in your mind that would be realistic, that, you know, this team would actually put that player out there that would make it worth them moving that Brooklyn pick, which is their chance to be competitive after the LeBron James era ends?
Yeah, I don't know that there is. And I think they're kind of stuck in this awkward value zone where, you know, it's just my interpretation. I don't have inside information here, where they've called everybody about using, you know, Tristan Thompson, Amon Shumpert, whoever they have for salary filler, and their own pick to try to get DeAndre Jordan, to try to get the George Hill, to try to get whoever else they've been rumored with, and no one's probably really interested in that, or they can't find the right value. And the rumor was the Clippers wanted the Nets pick for Jordan, which would be an awful trade for the Cavaliers. However, there's no one else out there. I mean, the Thunder, they have the second-best record in the NBA behind only the Warriors since December 1st. They're not trading Paul George. You know, the Pelicans were on a four-game winning streak, were up to the sixth seed, only three games behind the Spurs for the three seed. And, you know, they were just rolling before Cousins got hurt. So they weren't trading him regardless of whether he was hurt or not. And I don't know that there's a name around the league right now that's at all available in the range where you'd actually consider moving that Brooklyn pick. So I think they're in a tough spot. If they did land a DeAndre Jordan, if they did add a George Hill, and they were able to do those things without moving the Brooklyn pick, that would really solidify some faith from me in terms of them getting back to the finals. But I don't see a move that puts them over the Warriors, and I don't see a move that really warrants moving that Brooklyn pick, especially with LeBron James's future so up in the air.
Josh, I saw one move. The rest of them, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The DeAndre Jordans, the George Hills, you know, obviously the even lesser role players, the Lance Thomases, the Courtney Lees to bring some defense. They certainly, in my mind, don't warrant moving the Brooklyn pick. But I do have one that I think checks enough boxes, and maybe, just maybe, it closes that gap quite a bit. What about if Memphis makes Marc Gasol available? Would you consider moving the Brooklyn pick for him because he's an elite post defender? He's a great passer by center standards. He can step out and shoot the three. He can rebound, and he can score on the interior. So he gives LeBron everything LeBron likes in a big, and he also gives the Cavaliers everything they need in a big that they don't have right now.
Mark is an interesting name, and I do think that's a good name to bring up because that's really towing the line. I think if the Cavaliers believe that Marc Gasol does one of two things, he gives them A, a fighting chance over the Warriors, or B, somehow makes Cleveland harder for LeBron to leave, then I think you can do that deal with some confidence, knowing you did what was best for your franchise, either in the short term, trying to win one more title, or in the long term, trying to keep LeBron. But I just don't know if Mark does either of those things. And like, he's still a very good defender. He does. I mean, he's a very good pick-and-roll player. He's got range on the jump shot. I think he would fit beautifully in Cleveland. However, he's 32 years old, only has 1 year left on the deal, and he's been disgruntled and kind of an issue in Memphis all year. And you got to wonder, if they still don't win and LeBron leaves, you've got an expiring Marc Gasol who's not going to be happy playing in Cleveland on a team falling apart. I think you need some sort of real confidence on one side or the other that he changes things. And I don't know if it's there, but he is the most interesting name for sure.
Josh Eberle, Hoops Magazine, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. We're talking all things NBA. You know, you've made it abundantly clear that outside of maybe Marc Gasol, none of these trades really close the gap. We don't really see anybody that is a real threat to the Golden State Warriors. If you were to pick any one team, irrespective of conference, whether in the East or the West, who are the biggest threats? Is it Houston that's the biggest threat because of their offensive efficiency and the improvement on defense and some of the size they have? Is it Oklahoma City, who has a lot of talent in their starting unit and has finally come together? Is it Boston, or is it a team I haven't mentioned?
Yeah, I really think before the Robertson injury, it was Oklahoma City. And I know that's, you know, it's crazy to say because couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat on offense. But just the length that they had from Westbrook, Robertson, George, and Melo, 1-4, really made them a team that could have tested them out on the perimeter, that could have switched on a lot of things. But with Robertson hurt, I think it's Houston. And I think if you're a fan rooting against Golden State and you want to see the Empire fall, you got to look at Chris Paul and James Harden and what they're doing, shooting 5-6 feet behind the three-point line, just shelling teams and say, I hope that they can outgun them for a seven-game series. And again, I don't think it's likely, but I think Houston is the only team with the firepower and the floor generals. You know, whether Harden's off or Paul's off, you always have a top-10 player running the offense. I think they're the only team that could outshell them in the right, you know, in the perfect scenario. So I think I'd go Houston at this point with the best chance to beat them.
Riddle me this. I'm a Knicks fan. And, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs again. And that's the realities. But it looks like maybe they found something on that scrap heap in a four-year veteran who was toiling in the G League. His name is Trey Burke. Is this guy the real deal, and can he be a guy that's a legit quality starting NBA point guard for a team that passed on Dennis Smith Jr.?
You know what? There's a couple. I think Trey Burke has been surprisingly good. You know, for as long as he was sitting in the G League this year, you know, for as lackluster as his time in Utah was, Washington, I think he's been good. But I think Knicks fans should still be more excited about Frankie Smokes. And, you know, I know there's a lot of Knicks fans who are disappointed that they passed on Dennis Smith Jr. But Frankie Ntilikina is going to be a good player. I mean, he's got the length. He's already a very good defensive player. His shot mechanics are solid. I think it's going to start to fall. The Knicks are in a weird spot. I still think they've been a lot more fun this year than last year, kind of free the Derrick Rose and Carmelo Anthony and some of the structure that played them years past. But, you know, Porzingis is obviously someone you can build around. I think Beasley has been surprisingly good. I think you can be optimistic about Frank. Trey has been a nice little find. The Knicks are on the way up, and that's not something that, you know, despite them missing the playoffs this year, that's not something you've been able to say for a while. So that's nice.
Now, you mentioned the Knicks real quick on this, and then I got one more question in the Eastern Conference before we let you bounce here. Enes Kanter, I think his contract is up at the end of this year, if I'm not mistaken. Is he a guy you also put in there as a building block? Because he's really been terrific on the offensive end. He's been a dynamic and dynamite rebounder, and his defense hasn't been as bad as in years past, which means you can actually keep him on the floor some. Is he another block that you could build around if you're the New York Knicks? He's still young, and he's very, very talented.
Yeah, I think Kanter's a rotation player. I'm going to go against conventional logic here. I know what the analytics say about his defense, and he didn't get time in Oklahoma City. And I really think, you know, when he was getting 13 minutes a game and not really getting used in Oklahoma City, that was a mistake. You know, yeah, he can't move on the pick and roll, and yeah, his feet are slow. But, I mean, the guy absolutely maximizes his minutes. Whether you give him 18 minutes or 30 minutes, he's going to reward you with a double-double. He just grinds on the offensive rebounds. He doesn't miss around the rim. You know, he's someone that deserves a spot in the NBA. He works his butt off. I know a lot of the players think it's funny that he, you know, talks a lot of smack on Twitter and gets into these weird altercations, but I think his teammates like that. You know, he wore Oklahoma City on his chest. He's wearing New York on his chest. I very much think that if it's at a reasonable price and you're not paying above market value to keep a guy that, you know, may or may not have a lot of interest, he's someone that should be in the rotation for you and can have value over the next few years. I think he's still young. He's like 25, I want to say Kanter is. So,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely someone who can be kept around. Wouldn't break the bank to keep him, but I think Kanter's been kind of underrated throughout his career.
Final one before we let you run. Got about a minute left. The Philadelphia 76ers, boy, they're hot of late. It's a team coming into the year I expected to win 50 games and be in the top four of the Eastern Conference. How bullish are you on this team, not only for this year in, you know, a parity-laden NBA, but going forward with all that salary cap space and still a bevy of draft picks, not to mention Markel Fultz sitting there in the wings if they can ever get his head and his shot right?
Yeah, I think they're going to be a promising team going forward. I kind of had them in the 6-7 seed coming into the season. Ben Simmons has been better than I expected. Fultz has been worse. Embiid's been mostly healthy. That's the big thing. There's a ton of talent there, like you said, with the cap space and the picks. There's more talent coming. They're probably, you know, if you offered me any team in the league to hop on if I was a new basketball fan, Philadelphia would be in the top five. The ceiling is so high. I mean, there are still hurdles in front of them, but the amount of talent that they're going to bring into that building, I mean, the ceiling is very, very high.
Josh, you're the best. Great stuff, man. Let's do it again as the NBA season continues to chug along, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck with your Knicks.
Thanks so much. Josh Eberle, Hoops Magazine, joining us here talking all things NBA.